Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Visionary Hotspot, a radio show connecting women who desire their purpose with women living in their purpose. And today we have Jennifer Gabbiola of Breaking Dawn. How are you, Jennifer?
Hi. Hi, Charmaine. Nice to be here.
I'm doing good. Did I get that right? Breaking Dawn is a dawning soul. That's what it is.
It's dawning, dawning soul. Yeah.
Soul.
I think Breaking Dawn is a movie, I think.
Forgive me. Oh, my God. Forgive me.
No worries.
Dawning soul. Dawning soul.
Yeah, dawning
and
soul.
And everyone. Mm-hmm. Yes. And today, everyone, we're talking about inner beauty, soulful style, and making a big impact on the world. Don't forget, everyone, this episode is brought to you by Natalia's Kitchen, bringing the flavor of the farm from my kitchen to yours. So, Jennifer, tell me, why is this subject so near and dear to you?
Oh, goodness. So inner beauty has always been very important to me because probably I think it was over 7 years ago, my life was really focused on how I looked and really validating myself from my career. Everything basically, my identity came from everything outside of myself. I was very successful as a design director. I have seemingly on the surface, I had it all. And I always looked on point because, you know, making sure my image was perfect, was important to me, but deep down I always felt empty, but I always kept people at a certain distance because I never wanted to reveal that. Right. But then I lost my job. I lost my job and that was probably the major turning point in my life because that really forced me to look inside because I knew honestly I was at a crossroads that either I would continue down that road of feeling victimized by myself and my circumstance or take the road less traveled and look within. And so that's the road I took and it was a harder road, but it really got me here because it really was a hidden blessing for me to look inside and find the value of who I am outside of what I look like, outside of my job, outside of anything, my roles, and then recognize that my beauty, my powers, everything is given by God. It's like I was born with that value. Mm-hmm. That's actually something that can never be taken away from me. And what I do is just a reflection of that beauty and power that I already have on the inside.
See, that's what I love. See, what I find, and you tell me what you think, but what I find about a lot of women is that they have these hidden gems within themselves. And tragic things come into our lives, and we see it as a failure, or we see it as some kind of a universal punishment, when in essence, as you stated before, it was meant to bring you to a space where you can start appreciating yourself by doing the inner work. How do we start seeing our failures or seemingly failures as really triumphs that are coming to us in the future?
Yeah, so this wasn't easy, but because I was at such a low point, I tried doing it myself. I tried figuring it out and forced my way to try to find solutions, but it just wasn't working. And again, I hit my low point. So I came to a place where I had to surrender to a force greater than myself. I was like, okay, I have to let go and I have to trust that if I want my life to improve, I have to trust that I belong here and that I'm being guided by a force greater than myself. So I got the divine guidance after I lost my job and got sick. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which is a debilitating autoimmune disorder. So really to lose my health and my career at the, you know, around the same time was very devastating. Yeah. So for me to just lose all that, that was like a real wake up call. Like, either you're going to go down this road, or this continued road, it's going to be even worse, or you're going to find the grace. So that's what I did. I, I just prayed, like, okay, God, I don't know how to get out of here, but I know I need my life to improve. And I want, because I lost everything, I was like, I had nothing to lose. I decided in that moment, I don't know how, but I'm going to find a way to use my life to help impact other people. Even though, like, I'm an introvert, so I thought, oh, no, I don't know how to do that. Do I have to be loud? Do I have to change who I am? And I realized over time that how I'm naturally built is on purpose. Mm-hmm. My quiet voice can make a big impact. And that's really, like, my mission now.
Wow. You know, that is so beautiful when you were talking about your quiet voice making a big impact. You know, oftentimes, because, I mean, look at me. I'm loud. I'm very confrontational. You know, I can be a little bit aggressive. And when I think in terms of that, I always have admired women who have that quiet spirit about them. I don't know a lot of women like that. So when I meet a woman like that, she stands out from everyone else because there's something about that quietness. How do we start appreciating ourselves the way we are? Because so often, I think, especially within your field, when it comes to building up a person by engaging with them internally and then showing them what mm-hmm. they could be on the outside, when you mm-hmm. find people who are dressed to the nines, there is not one singular hair out of place. Nails are immaculate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, beautiful clothing, aesthetic, and then you wonder to yourself, can this be a facade for something else, or is this legit? And I'm wondering to myself, as a part of humanity, is this what it is, or can we truly be people who are happy on the inside and the out?
Yes. Oh, I could talk about this all day. Okay, so I really believe that, okay, because we are here in a physical world, we are meant to enjoy the physical the beauty, all of it, like the beautiful clothes, the beautiful surroundings, nature, all of that. But I find that sometimes we get so, especially with social media, we get so hung up on chasing the thing that's going to give us that fix in the moment. Like, oh, I have to have that bag, or I have to have that, you know, very temporary thing. But I really believe that you can be beautiful, like honor that quiet stillness that everyone has, regardless if you're an introvert or extrovert. Everyone has that quiet, small voice inside you. You know it. You just tend to distract yourself. So it's about like giving yourself a permission to step away from the noise and actually get quiet and listen, because that voice is always there, and that voice is very gentle. So I'm a big proponent of, like, if you do that inner work every day and you just get still, even if it's like 5-10 minutes, get still so you feel grounded within yourself, eventually you'll cultivate that deep inner connection with yourself. And then I'm also, like, style has always been a very sacred practice for me to connect with myself. So I love like breaking that stereotype that you don't have to be spiritual and not into like material things, or into material things and be superficial.
Yes.
I really feel like you can bridge both. You can bridge both. You can like cultivate your inner spirit and celebrate how beautiful you are from the inside out. You know, and not use beauty as a mask. So I used to do that. I used to like buy a bunch of stuff I didn't need. I used to just make sure everything looked on point. But I came to a point, like I said, I just lost everything, and I was like, okay, I have to find a way to bridge both, because I always knew that I had a lot of depth inside me. I just didn't know how to express it. So that's why now I feel like that's my calling is to show examples of quiet leadership, where I don't have to be the loudest person in the room, but because I'm so deeply in tune with my vibe, you're going to feel me. And I love style. So when I step into a room, I will be like on point, but I don't have to be loud about it. You just go, oh, there's something about her, you know?
Right. Exactly. And you know, that's the funniest thing about fashion. The funniest thing I find about fashion is that we are like robots. It's so bizarre. It's like literally we are like robots. We see a celebrity, they're wearing these beautiful clothing, and then all of a sudden now we need what they have. And we don't even realize that what they have, we don't even want it. It's literally, and listen, I have seen some really unattractive shoes that were on celebrities, but because they're on a celebrity, now all of a sudden they're cute. And I'm not kidding. I have seen it. Even in my own eyes, like I would go on Nordstrom or Bergdorf Goodman. And I'll look and I'll say, oh, my God, those shoes are so ugly. And then I'll see a celebrity wearing them on, you know, the Internet or in some kind of a magazine. And now because she styled it a certain way, now all of a sudden it's cute to me. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, am I being, like, sucked into this vortex where we don't realize that our initial feelings are correct? And it's okay
yes.
not to like something.
Oh, my gosh. That, to me, is your power. When you can get still and you give yourself permission to love what you love, regardless of what is on trend or if a celebrity is wearing it, I really feel like it's very cool to see, like, someone wearing something and you're like, oh, like for example, I really am fascinated by, let me say, like, Beyonce or Riri. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, look, if they can pull that off. But I always question, like, okay, would I wear, does that feel resonant with me? Sometimes yes, sometimes
yes.
no. But I give myself permission to validate that over a celebrity endorsing it, because at the end of the day, I am the one wearing what I want to wear, and it's about my presence.
Yes.
I feel like sometimes when people really associate with celebrity, it's not on the surface, it looks like I need to buy that thing, I need to, like, look like that person. But really what they are resonating with is that freedom. Oh my God, that person is so free to be themselves, and they're getting so many like accolades and all this stuff. That's to me where we have to be more look at the situation with more depth and go, okay, I want that freedom, but the only way I can get that freedom is to unlock my magic on the inside. And that takes a
yes.
lot of courage, but that is where it's at. And then you can look at every magazines and celebrities that as inspiration, but that is not where your power is. Your power is on the inside.
Oh, my God, and that is so true, Jennifer, because you know what's so funny? I just recently, well, not even funny, but sad, more so, I just recently looked at a study that recently came out, and it spoke about the biggest seller and killer right now in Jamaica. And I thought, the first initial thing I thought to myself when I was reading it was like, oh, God, what is this, some kind of a narcotic situation. But it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was bleaching cream. Bleaching
cream. I saw that. Oh, my
cream.
God, I saw that.
Yeah, did you
yes.
see that? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I did see that.
And I'm sitting here like, are you freaking kidding me? Bleaching cream
yes.
is killing more
yes.
Caribbeans right now than heroin,
yes.
crack, cocaine, marijuana, anything, any kind of drug abuse, alcoholism, you know, spousal abuse, any of that, that is not what's killing. Bleaching cream. So you know what that does? That tells me, that signals something to me about what it is we do to ourselves. What is it about us that we hate ourselves so much that we would do something so harmful to the human body to try to look like everyone else? What is up with that?
You know, I saw that it was probably like maybe over a decade ago. I went back to the Philippines. I'm Filipino. And so I saw so many ads for bleaching creams. And when I looked at the celebrities, they were also very pale. And like for me, I'm not like, I'm kind of like in the middle tone, you know, not like very dark and not like super fair. But I was just like, wow, this is crazy to me because all the celebrities are gorgeous, but they look the
mm-hmm.
same. So,
yes.
yeah, so I feel like it's this universal underlying message that how you're actually naturally built, how you're born is not good enough. It's not good enough.
Mm.
And that you have to do whatever in your power to change it so you can look more like more fair skinned, whatever your ideal thing of beauty is. But I really, that's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing, is because I know in every fiber of my being that God created beauty as a spiritual way to connect ourselves within ourselves.
Wow.
He created all of nature, which is beautiful, and then that small still voice, that is the source of that inner beauty that is, again, that sense of empowerment that can only come in you. But you have to have that courage to unlock that and give yourself permission to love what you love and believe what you believe. And even if you're going to stand out, because honestly, when you stand out, that's really, that's the magic. No one wants to be like hidden and invisible. No one, we're not here to be invisible. We're actually here to stand out. So that takes a lot of courage to trust in your own inner beauty, in your own voice, and step forward.
Oh, wow. You know what's so interesting? Because here it is. We're back again at square one. trusting your intuition, trusting the beauty that lays within you. And see, what I find about women, and this is what we do to ourselves, what I find about women is that we never feel satisfied with us. Whether we look in the mirror and we say, okay, she's so plain, or I don't like her nose. And she's talking about herself because she's looking at herself in the mirror. I don't like her nose, or I don't like her hair. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, do you think those women you see in the movies and on and in magazines, I don't care what Beyonce say. She could say she woke up like that. She woke up to Jay-Z. He know better. So come on. Why do we buy into the ball? Because we got to know that if there's crust in your eye when you wake up, and that is a part of being human because the eye has to drain at night when you sleep, you mean to tell me you're the only one on the planet who wakes up a little ugly? I don't think so. My hair gets disheveled in the middle of the night. My scar falls off. And guess what? We will all have to survive. The world will have to continue to spin because Charmaine's hair looks raggedy in the morning. So how do we start loving our noses, our raggedy hair in the morning, the crust in our eyes, and still see something of beauty? Because here's the thing. I think we are confused. Hello, I'm going to go deep with it. I think we're confused with glamour and beauty. See, the media sells us glamour, and we think that that is the epitome of being beautiful when we don't even realize that we're already that. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, I've never heard that distinction, but I feel like that is really powerful, glamour and beauty. Beauty is eternal. Beauty is something you're beauty is something you're born with. Like that's something that you actually will never go away. And I find that when you can share like yourself honestly, like especially no makeup. Like for example, I used to always have my hair super super short, like really always in position. Everything was perfect, right? But now because I'm allowing more of just myself, accepting more of myself. I'm allowing my hair to grow. There's a natural wave. And I'm like, my automatic response was, oh, my God, I need a haircut. But now I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I see how it's kind of like, it feels untamed. So it's more like having more of a curious perspective and a softer, compassionate, gentle attitude toward yourself instead of looking at yourself in the mirror and being so hypercritical. Because here's the thing, because I used to be super, super critical. That actually contributed to my rheumatoid arthritis. This is how I transformed that, because to me it happened for a reason. So I asked for the grace. How can I see this sense of being so self-critical to actually help me and heal me? The critical nature in us just wants us to always like strive for excellence, to find the improvement. We want to always grow as human beings. But the trick is, this is what's within our power, is to not judge ourselves and to not beat ourselves up. Like, I have a pimple on my nose. Instead of saying, oh, my God, you look horrible, look at it and go, oh, okay, I have that today. Well, it's okay. It's not what I wanted, but it's okay. It's having a softer approach to how you have that inner dialogue with yourself. I'm telling you, kindness, compassion, that has been transformational for me. Just to, even when I didn't know how to be kinder to myself, I just set an intention. God, I don't know how, but I know I want to be less critical on myself. Please show me how to see myself the way you do, to look at myself with a softer view, to be more accepting, to be more kind to myself. I'm telling you, once I actually activated that thought into my consciousness, things shifted. Mm-hmm. Things shifted, and my whole vibe and persona softened up. But that doesn't take away. Soft does not mean weak. That just means there's more of a wholeness to like your femininity. You know, there's a wholeness. You're accepting all the parts of yourself instead of like putting only certain things. You only like certain things about you. No, we're talking about like learning to accept all of you.
Exactly. And then see, here's another thing too, because what we don't realize is that when we don't like ourselves or we try to cover up the things we don't like about ourselves, It puts us in a tunnel or a funnel of complete dysfunction, not just on the outside of the way we look, because we've seen this. I know you've seen it. But have you ever come in contact with people who, when you speak to them, their face doesn't move? And you're like, what in the world? The face does not move. And then, so then not only that, your dislike for yourself is so internal that now you can't even share expressions. And or you are putting yourself in such a financial destitute because you have to have what seemingly looks the best. And what you're not realizing is everybody is fronting. They are fronting. None of them have the kind of happiness that they display for you to buy into. So you're going to go into $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 worth of debt to make yourself feel like they feel and they feel like crap. See, this is what I'm saying. It goes deeper than just not liking who you are, because that not liking who you are, it affects your finances. It affects your inner spirit. It affects your outer appearance. I mean, I have seen where people have just gone overboard, and I'm not kidding, overboard, and you sit here looking like, oh, my God, what the world happened to you? And you can clearly see what happened. You can clearly see that it's some form of plastic surgery that makes them look plastic. And now, all of a sudden, we're no longer human. Now we are pretending. Now we're in that little dollhouse. Remember when we were little girls, we had the dollhouse? I did, anyway. I had the dollhouse, and I was able to pretend to do and be and or whatever it was that I wanted. And so everything that happened in the dollhouse happened because I dreamt it up. Have you ever considered that's the way society is? Hello?
Yeah, I you know what? When I see people like that, I really have compassion, because that is really a sense of control. When you need to manipulate your outside like that so much, you deep down feel like you have no control. Because that's why you're going to go to that such great length, to just feel like, okay, well, even though I may look like super plastic, at least it's my expression. I can control that. I really feel like what the deeper rooted issue is allowing ourselves to be vulnerable. Like, just because, let's say, you're more spiritually aware, just because you feel like you're growing and you're spiritually aware, does not mean you're not going to have bad days. You know, but I feel like the trick is, or the power rather, is that when you have those bad days, to treat yourself with compassion and go, okay, well, this is a part of being human, instead of saying, ugh, I can't post today because I'm not having a good day. Like, I feel like what's really, really challenging about social media is when I see people who are living their lives in order to show a curated life, instead of living their life and then then sharing moments. That, to me, is what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to just share really genuine moments with other people, instead of, oh, my God, I got to look perfect so I can have this perfect Instagram photo or this perfect video on Snapchat, blah, blah. And, like, whoa, you're getting that backward. You're not a TV show. You're a person sharing real moments. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I feel like that's so important. This deeper conversation is so important, so we can use social media in a conscious way, not feel like we are on display, you know?
Yes. Like, I'm telling you, like monkeys at the zoo. I'm telling you. And have you ever noticed something? Seriously. No, that's serious.
Yeah.
And have you ever noticed that you never, and this is so funny because I say things like this all the time, animals who live in the wild, not at the zoo, but live in the wild, have you ever noticed that they are not trying to be like the other animals, that they're not?
Right.
You never find an elephant trying to be a lion. And you never find a lion trying to be a gorilla. And you never find a gorilla trying to be a damn rhinoceros. It's like, can we be ourselves for a minute? No, for real. Like, can we simply say, this is what I was intended to look like for the journey that I'm supposed to have. And I'm going to make the best of it, because you only get life in this realm once. There's no take two in this, not in the form that you have it. So enjoy it. And whoever doesn't like you the way you are, how you are, well, bye. Goodbye. You know, there's plenty. Yeah. Listen, there are 7.5 billion people on the planet. I'm almost certain you can find one who will love you the way you are. I mean, consider
that.
Yeah,
I feel like what's most important is really your relationship with yourself. You know, that when you have that deep sense of compassion, even if you don't know how in this moment, if there's people listening right now, you don't have to know how. You just have to decide, I want to be more kind to myself. I want to be more compassionate, more loving with myself. Just making that decision is going to activate something in your consciousness. So you're going to move towards that. You're going to actually attract people who are going to support that. But if you keep running on that old programming of, I'm never good enough, I need this bleaching cream, I need to, like, you know, buy this $1,000 bag, like, those thoughts are okay, they're normal, they're human, but we have that sense of consciousness to go, you know what, that's not real for me anymore. I can buy that $1,000 bag, but that $1,000 bag does not define me. I'm going to enjoy the beauty of it. I'm going to enjoy the beauty of it, but that bag does not define me.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm not even kidding. I can't even tell you how many times I have purchased things, especially when I was younger. I have purchased things, and you look at it, you love it, and then eventually it goes where everything else is, on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Like, eventually, you know, you get that whatever expensive bag it is, and you love it at first. You know, you won't even put it in the shopping cart. Oh, my God, I have done that. I'm talking 18, 19, 20 years old. I would hold that bag in the grocery store the whole damn time because I did not want it to go in the shopping cart because I knew somebody's nasty little baby was sitting in that shopping cart and the pamper was probably nasty and I didn't want it on my bag. Then you get older and you become more mature and you're like, really? I don't care that much. I'm serious. Like, not that much. Okay, the bag is going in the shopping cart. You make these conscious decisions as we grow, and here's the beautiful thing about growth, inner growth. It doesn't have to happen overnight. It can literally happen over time, and that's really the most beautiful thing about life is because it's an ever-evolving, changing experience, and that is what brings our healing. Oh, my God, Jennifer, this conversation has been amazing. Tell my audience, where can we find you? How can we connect with you? What's your social media platform?
They can find me. I have a private Facebook group called Quiet Voice Big Impact Community. I'm always there. It's really an intimate and safe space for quiet leaders to show up in their life and their business. But I'd love to share. I'm also on Instagram. My handle is @dawningsoul. But for your community, I would love for people that are interested in, like, learning more how to feel more comfortable with being seen and more visible, I have some free training. It's at dawningsoul.com/be visible. So
Give that to us again. Dawning Soul, what was that again?
Sure. dawningsoul.com/be visible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Be visible. Yeah. And in that program, what exactly would we learn? What would we engage in?
So it's an invitation to some live training I'm having in the next few weeks to really help women feel more confident about who they are on the inside and to have that natural presence so that they can infuse that power and that beauty into their brand.
Oh, I'm loving that. Yeah, because I'm telling you, as an entrepreneur and as a woman, that is something that is critical to the growth of any, you know, program, any kind of endeavor that you're working on. It is super critical. Listen, everyone, I am so glad that you joined me today. Remember, you can always connect with me, Charmaine Caraway, at thevisionarywoman.com. Let me give that to you again, thevisionarywoman.com. We have everything there. We have my social media platforms. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I am on Venus, ladies. I am everywhere, absolutely everywhere. Don't forget, everyone, that this episode was brought to you by Natalia's Kitchen, bringing the flavor of the kitchen from my farm to your kitchen. Talk with you soon, guys. Bye.
Bye.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.